and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, everybody, welcome to the message part of the service. It's so good to have you. If you sat in the room, so glad you came. And if you're at home watching online or you're catching up, so good to have you here. And if you're on the room or listening on the day, happy Valentine's Day, because today's Valentine's Day. I was thinking about this. Do you know, this is the 35th year I was sending Michelle, my wife, a Valentine's card. 35 years. How did that happen? That is such a long time. But today is a day, I think, really, to thinking about relationships and thanking those who we love. And if you have a special one, especially that one, and sending them a card or something like that. Of course, for some of you, it will be maybe a little sad, or you're maybe got full of hope. Will that card land down on the doorstep that you posted or you put through someone's letterbox? Will they open it and will their heart flutter in love for you? Because let's face it, relationships are massively important for all of us. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, this, that the Lord took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And then he said about Adam, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. God said that it's good for us to be in relationships. And so I was thinking about this and thinking about Valentine's Day. I was thinking about all the hundreds, actually in reality, the thousands of relationships that I have seen or been a part of over the 50 years of my life. I'm privileged. I'm still friends with some of my childhood friends, and I have friends through all the different seasons of life, and just blessed, but it's not always gone well. I know some of my friends have been married and divorced, and some have had great relationships and bad relationships and all sorts of different relationships, and I've been thinking about them as I've actually been preparing, because what I'd love to do on this Valentine's Day is talk to us about relationships, all sorts of different relationships, because, you know, all of us are created to have and build healthy and helpful relationships, be it kind of just friends and colleagues at work, with some special great friends that I hope and pray each one of you have, or maybe by the end of this message you'll go, I need to go and create and find some great friendships, and including, you know, that special friendship that all of us hope to have, a husband and wife to do life with. So I want to speak into that today, and I am praying that as I share three principles with you and some thoughts around them, that you'll go away and be able to build even better relationships than you've ever done before. Well, before we begin, I just want to pray and then we'll get into it. Father, we thank you so much that you want to be in relationship with us. So we thank you that you are with us in this moment, whether in the room, whether we're sat on a sofa, whether we're listening. God, you long to have a relationship with us. We thank you that Jesus came and died so that we could have that relationship. And so, Father, I pray, help us to press into that relationship right now. Help us to open our hearts and our minds, that you can speak to us, that you can move us into change, that we may become the people that you created us to be. And Father, we pray, any who may be listening to this who don't know you, who don't have a relationship with you yet, we pray that you would speak to them, that they would know your presence through your Holy Spirit. And God, maybe by the end of it, the end of our service, they go, I want to begin a relationship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I suppose I should say before I begin that obviously in 20 minutes or so, I can't cover everything. But I want to give you three main principles which I hope will really, really help you. And they'll come up on the screen because they're quite long, but I want you to kind of encapsulate what I wanted to say so you'll have time to write them down. The first principle is this. Make sure that your main relationship in your life is the right one and it's in the right place in your life. Make sure that the main relationship in your life is in the right place. Sorry, is the right one and in the right place in your life, i.e. first in your life. Matthew 22, Jesus gets asked a question. It's a kind of a trick question, really. They're trying to catch him out, but he gives such a marvelous answer. Matthew 22, verse 35. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second, it's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And it says all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The first relationship, the main one, the one that should come as a priority, is a relationship with God himself. It should come before every single human relationship we have. It is the most important one, the most privileged one that every human being has. That we love him above all else, that we believe in him above all, that we trust in him, we trust in his love and his belief in us, we trust in his teaching, in his instructions about life and about how we should live life. Then and only then can we actually form amazing, long-term, great relationships with other human beings, only if we have that as a priority in our life. I've been a pastor, a youth pastor, a long time now. And one of the things I think that the Christian finds so hard is to maintain Jesus being first, the first relationship in every area of our life. If you read the Bible, the letters, Paul often says that, you know, especially when we get married, it's so difficult to make sure that Jesus is first in life. But if we're going to form great relationships, church, we need to make sure that Jesus is always first in life. He's the first relation. He's the one we love first. He's the one that we follow first. He's the one that we listen to more than any other voice in our life. You see, Jesus should define how we relate to everybody, but Jesus should also define who we have as our closest friends and who we allow to speak into our life and to influence us. They should be part of the Jesus family so that they can actually help us maintain and grow in our first and primary relationship. And our desire to do Jesus' will should mean, without exception, that our special one, our husband, our wife, our girlfriend, our boyfriend, is committed to the same primary relationship that we are. So that within that relationship, there's no conflict. There's no kind of clash of loyalties that we have to worry about. There's no problem caused because both are utterly committed to making sure that Jesus is their first and primary relationship in their life. And both are committed to utterly following his purpose, his instruction. They both believe in him. I can't emphasize enough that position. Now, if you're watching this, you go, well, my husband or wife doesn't believe in Jesus. You are where you are, and perhaps you found Jesus later on in life or something. I just want to encourage you, keep praying, keep believing. Ask God to help you be that amazing witness within that relationship and never give up for your partner to find Jesus. But if you're single, you're looking, make sure that your main relationship in your life is Jesus, and everything else, including your relationships, revolve around that. You see, wise people place every relationship under the authority and instruction of God. I'll say that again. Wise people place every relationship under the authority and the instruction of God. If you get this first principle right, that Jesus talks about, all those relationships will take their proper place in your life. The second principle I want to say is this. Assess all your relationships often as you start them and as you grow in them. I'll say that again. Assess all your relationships often as you start them and as you grow in them. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26 says this. A righteous man is cautious in his friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 13, verse 20 says this, he who walks with the wise grows wise. Proverbs 22, 24 and 25 says this, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says this, bad company corrupts good character. All the way through the Bible, it kind of insists that we think and process and assess how our friendships are going. Are they good friendships for us? Are they bad friendships for us? Now, I'm not talking about being friendly with everybody. We're called to be friendly with everybody and love everybody. But those closer friends, we need to think and assess from time to time, is this relationship helping me with a mission purpose that God has called me to do? Or is it now hindering me? You see, although friendships can last a lifetime, those who help us fulfill the purpose and mission that God has given us, as long as we serve as part of the church, will change over time. I mean, if you think about my life, you know, I started off as a farmer boy and a milkman, and I was involved in youth work. I needed some friends to help with that. We went off to Bible college, and afterwards, I became a youth worker in a small youth work. And then I went somewhere else and had a bigger youth work. I needed some different people in my life to help me. And then, for this last 14 years, we've been planting and building Valley Church, and I've needed some different friends again. You see, it's not that my old friends I'm not friendly with, but actually I need new friends in my life, new great friends in my life, if I'm going to fulfill the purpose that God has called me in this season. It's like, if you suddenly have a baby, you need some friends with babies. Why? Because you need some wisdom in your life to help you. If you become a business person, you need some business friends. Why? Because you need some people to help advise you build your business. It makes sense. So we need to keep assessing our friendships. Not that we become unfriendly, but times change. We consistently need to make room for new friendships that God brings along. Actually, God brings along to help us fulfill what he's calling us to do. Now, obviously, one or two friendships, there are some exceptions. This real husband or wife, your children that God has given you, those friendships need to be maintained. But still, you need to assess yourself. Are you still being a good husband? Are you still being a good father, a good wife? Are you still really developing and helping those relationships? And always remember what Jesus says about our family. And I mention this because it's so easy to forget. So in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, Jesus says this to some of his disciples. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said this, if anyone comes to me and does not, now this is an overemphasis, it doesn't mean hate, it's kind of in comparison with, if you do not hate your father and mother, your wife and your children, even your own brothers and sisters, yet even your own life, you cannot be my disciples. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. In Mark 10, verse 28, Jesus says this. Mark 10, verse 28. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields or businesses for me and the gospel will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come. As much as we have these permanent relationships of our wives and husbands and our family, let's make sure that Jesus is always first, is always our first and primary relationship. But we need to keep assessing them. Now, as we assess them, I just want to give you a few clues of how to do it well. The first one is learn your Bible and what it says about relationships. There is nothing better than Scripture for teaching us and helping us to assess friendships. Is it a good friendship? Is it a bad friendship? Is it helping me go forward in the purpose of God? Or is it restricting the purposes of God in my life? Secondly, make sure you have some wise friends in your life who are there to help and advise you. If you're young and you're thinking of going out with somebody or you're starting to get interested in somebody, why don't you ask somebody older and wiser, will this person actually help me? I know they look beautiful or handsome, and I know your heart is beating fast, but actually engage your brain and say, will this person actually help me fulfill the purposes of God in my life, or will they take me away? Get some wise people in your life, people about business and church. I know when Michelle and I started Valley Church, we got in touch with one or two people who'd done the same, started to get to know them, and over the years, we've become good friends with other church planters and leaders who've really, really helped us. But it's the same in every area of life. Get some wise people and then listen to them And even when they seem maybe a bit harsh, a bit direct, that's probably the moment you need to listen the hardest as they risk their relationship to help you form amazing relationships and fulfill your future in God. And don't forget to pray. Don't forget to ask God, seek the Holy Spirit to guide you. Sometimes as a Christian, you have many good choices, but you need to ask God, well, what's the best choice? I have all these relationships. What's the best choice at the moment to help me fulfill everything? People with the best friends, the best great friends, the best husbands and wives, I've noticed over the years, have applied themselves to thinking through things about their friendships as they start them and as they develop them. You see, wise people are willing to add friendships and let other friendships go to fulfill the purpose of God. Wise people are willing to add friendships and let other friendships go to fulfill the purpose of God. And wise people are clear on the reasons for why they're having a close friendship. Wise people are clear on the reasons on why they're having a close friendship. In fact, some are so clear that they write lists themselves before they begin their friendships. I've known people write lists for their girlfriend, their boyfriend they want to be with before they even start thinking about dating, to make sure that they don't, as it were, in the spur of the moment, make a bad decision that they have to then live to regret for the rest of their life. Second principle is this: assess your relationships often as you start them and as you grow in them. Third principle is this: be willing to put time, resources, and the right attitude into starting and growing your relationships, and as your relationships change. Be willing to put the time, resource, and the right attitude into starting and growing relationships, and as the relationships change. You see, great relationships tend not to happen by accident. They take time, they take effort, they often take lots of money, meals out, going out of your way to spoil them, spending money on them. And if you want great relationships, you'll have to do that. If you're a businessman and you want to, you know, find a great businessman to help you, you'll probably have to take them to lunch. And you have to take them to a nice restaurant. It could soon cost you £50 or £100 just to try and begin a relationship. If you want to get to know somebody spiritual, you'll have to hang out with them and spend time with them. And just be with them to glean as much as you can from them. Nothing is free in this world, and relationships are no different. Remember to put the most time and effort and resources into the most important relationships in your life. And I mean the God relationship first, and then from that, other important relationships in your life. And remember, as Christians, we're trying to fulfill the mission and purpose that God has given us. And therefore, the most important relationships in our life are those that will help us do that. Hopefully, you've got a husband or wife, if you're married, who totally agrees with you. And so together, you can pursue godly relationships to help you fulfill the mission and purpose that God has given you within the context of the local church. Remember, we're putting families so we can help each other and guide each other. And so each part of the family. But we need to, as we discover and go into our purpose and mission, we need to find those people that can help us. And remember, as we develop these relationships, we need a fantastic attitude. Now, I was going to write you a list of kind of some of the attitudes that you should have, but I think I'll just read 1 Corinthians 13 for you to give you a summary of the kind of the attitude, the culture you should be trying to have and create within friendships. Paul writes this: love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Now, that is a fantastic attitude to bring to any relationship. And if you want great relationships, you'll need to bring that great attitude, create that great culture where relationships can flourish in your life. One last thing to say is this: new relationships often cost a lot more as you start them, but that's okay. And remember, you'll start some relationships with some people and they just won't pan out as you assess them, and that's okay as well. Don't think that as a failure. Think of that as trying to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Remember, wise people pay the cost for forming and keeping great relationships because they know that over the long term, the benefit will outweigh the cost. I'll read that again. Wise people pay the cost for forming and keeping great relationships because they know in the long-term benefit will be worth the cost. So, after all my short years on this earth, there are the three big principles that I think Scripture and I have seen to work in life. Put God first, assess regularly, and then make sure you put the resource in the right place to keep great relationships and create new relationships in your life. You see, great friendships will help you fulfill everything that God places in your heart to do. But poor friendships will restrict or actually will destroy any chance you have of actually fulfilling those things that God places in your heart to do. And my prayer is that you will actually fulfill everything that God's in your heart, but you'll still need some great friendships in your life for that to happen. And, of course, don't forget to be a great friend. Great friendships are made when people are great friends. Be an easy friend. Be a wise friend. Be a challenging friend. Be a faithful friend. Be a loyal, dependable friend. Be an encouraging friend. Be a patient friend. Be a friend that always points to Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.